So guys, we're entering a new place this morning. So remember, we started this year with Jesus First Truth Always. We started speaking a little bit about discipleship. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be doing a contracted version of the course Freedom in Christ. So Freedom in Christ is a course that goes to a place where there's an event of forgiveness, of new life, of letting go, of receiving. And we've done it as a small group. Some of the other small groups have done this Freedom in Christ. And we said, we really want to have that day experience with as many people that are possible that can make it. But we didn't want to just say, come. And we wanted to set it up correctly. So we're going to have 4 weeks of just leading and guiding you to the place where on the 20th of June, 9 to 2, you're invited here. So if you've got a calendar on your phone, quickly add it in. If you've got a book calendar, write it in. If you've got a brilliant memory, then you're my wife with dates as that dates. I've got a good memory for other things as well. But just, we want to invite you to that day. It really is a day that the course is awesome. And if you haven't done it, you might want to pick it up as a small group later on. But it's a day that people describe as life-changing, transformational. And so 20th of June, 9 o'clock. Today we're looking at who am I and the truth. So it lines up directly with what we are doing. And one of the key areas of truth that we need to wrestle with as Christians is who am I? Who are you and who am I? Who are we in Christ? We know that in the very beginning, we're told that God created man in his own image. When I was a very young Christian, I used to battle a little bit with that. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere, all the time, and I'm created in his image. I don't see me like that. I don't reflect that, and it doesn't look like me. And then later on, I could realize, no, it's not speaking about the physical, but about my spiritual inheritance. My spiritual being is created in the likeness of God. And so it's not my outward, it's really my spiritual nature. If we track all the way back to the very first people, we are all descendants of them. Our DNA proves it. Your great, 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 great were Adam and Eve, and so were mine. Now for Adam, his spirit was fully connected to his being, and he was fully alive in his body, and his spiritual nature was fully connected to God, and he was fully alive and connected to God. But then we know that, I'm jumping right ahead of myself, so I'll take one step back. This gave him three very, very unique attributes. He was accepted by God. Remember, he walked with God. He spoke with God. He was accepted. He could talk to God at any time. He was also significant. He was unique and significant because he got to rule over the animals. He got to name everything. He was really quite significant. And then he was secure. He was safe in the presence of God. Everything he needed was provided for. Everything that he could ever want was there. And we were created for this kind of life as well. We were created to live just like he lived. But unfortunately, we know what happens in Genesis. We know that Adam and Eve decided that the fruit was more desirable. They were led astray by that cunning serpent. God said, you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. They didn't physically die, but spiritually, that connection that they had was severed. They no longer had this very, very close relationship with God where they could walk and talk to him all the time. That acceptance had fallen away. Their significance was really replaced by guilt and shame. And there wasn't that sense of security anymore. The first thing that Adam says when they've eaten of the fruit and God comes to them, he says, I was afraid. He never had fear before that. But now he has this sense of fear. We're all born into an environment that is dictated by this inheritance of sin. We don't have acceptance, significance, and security. But God had a plan, and his plan was Jesus Christ. The solution was that Jesus would come, that he would live as a man, that he would die on a cross, and he would rise again. And as we accept him as Lord and Savior, we would again enter into that place of acceptance, significance, and security. Jesus did come to forgive us our sins, but he came for a whole lot more. John 10:10, we know John 10:10 says, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. Adam and Eve lost that life, and Jesus Christ came to give us life. When we become Christians, our spirit is reconnected to God's spirit. We know that we can then enter into God's presence again. At that moment, we get back those three things, the acceptance, the significance, and the security. It's about eternal life then, but it's like now we have this great life right now. So who are you? The moment you become a Christian, it's a defining moment. Something significant happens in your life. It's not just a small change. It's a massive change. The Bible uses some really dramatic language. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Does the old and the new exist together? No. The old is gone. The new has come. You are not some old and some new. You are just new. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Can you be both light and darkness? No. We were of darkness. But once we accept Jesus Christ, we are now of light. They do not exist together in us. We are completely changed. It's something we have to grab onto with both hands and hear with both ears. We are completely changed. We are not the same as we were before. We are totally different. We were sinners and we were saved by grace. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Yes, we were sinners and we are saved by grace. But Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us when we were sinners. It's implying that we're no longer sinners. Salvation takes us from the place of sin to the place of something else. You know that the word sinner appears 300 times in the New Testament, and it never refers to people who have accepted Jesus Christ, who have followed Jesus Christ. Never. The word never used for people who are followers of Christ. There's another word that's used 200 times for people who follow Christ, and that word is saint. Holy One. When you accept Jesus Christ, you are not a sinner saved by grace. You are a saint who might sometimes sin. You're a holy one who might sometimes mess up. We're defined brand new. It's a blessing. It's awesome. And also we get all of those other things back again. The acceptance, the significance, and the security. We have that again. We have that again. There is, of course, a challenge. There's this same person that helped Adam and Eve to take a misstep is still active and alive today. Satan is still active and alive. He can't change the truth. He can't change that we're born again. He can't change that the old is gone and the new has come. But he can try and let us believe stuff that is not true. If he can get us to believe a lie, then he's winning. No child of God is inferior or useless. But if Satan can get us to believe that, then he's winning a battle. No child of God is dirty or abandoned. No. But if he can get us to believe that, then he is winning in our lives. You don't know what's been done to me. Yes. That doesn't change who we are in Christ. You don't know what failures I've had as a Christian. Sure, it doesn't change who you are in Christ. You're not saved by how you behave, by what you believe is how we are saved. And it's not about trying to behave differently. It's about knowing the truth, which then works out into our behavior. We don't need to learn how to behave differently, but rather how to believe differently. When I do go wrong, I go back to God and I say, I'm really sorry. I've messed up. Please forgive me. I'm not defined by the problems. I don't introduce myself to people saying, hi, my name's Brian and I snore. I don't do that. Tell them the truth, Brian. To be very honest, I've never heard it myself. But I don't introduce myself like that. So we don't have to introduce ourselves as, hi, I'm Brian, I'm a sinner who's saved by grace. No, hi, I'm Brian, I'm a saint. I'm a holy one of the Most High God. That is who I am. Every time we default to, I'm a sinner saved by grace, we reinforce the fact that we had sin in our lives before. Satan's going, oh yes, just rub it in. We're the only ones that remembers the sin once we've been forgiven. God doesn't. Jesus Christ doesn't. We're new creations. The old is gone. The new has come. 1 John 1:8 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We will go wrong from time to time. We will do stuff that's wrong. But if we go back to God and we say, hey, I agree with you. I've done something wrong. Please forgive me. He is faithful and just and he will forgive our sins. Does all of this apply to you? If you're a Christian, then yes, it does. Whether you believe it or not, it applies to you. But if you're not a Christian, it doesn't apply to you yet. A Christian is somebody who chooses to believe that Christ is the Son of God and has made a definite decision to put Jesus Christ in charge of their lives. They've said, forgive me of my sin, Lord. I want you to lead and guide me for the rest of my life. I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. That's what a Christian is. If you've not done that, then maybe you need to do that at some point, and maybe that moment is this morning. It's not a complicated thing. It's not a difficult thing. It's simply surrendering to the truth that God wants us to be free of the sin in our lives. Faith is important. God's love for you on its own doesn't mean that you will be the person he wants you to be and that you will do things that he has prepared for you. We have choices. Sometimes we don't make the right choices. But we can choose to believe. And we can choose to believe the right thing. Not necessarily what you think or what you say you believe, but choose what the Bible says is true. If you want to know if somebody is a believer or what somebody believes, you just have to look at their life and you can say, oh, I know what they believe. Faith is simply believing what is already true. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we need to know what is true and we need to believe in it. Should you remember the story of David and Goliath? David is facing a giant on a battlefield many, many, many years ago. The Israelites know the truth about the God that they serve, but they choose to be afraid. David knows the truth about the God that he serves, and he chooses to stand up against the giant in that faith. He says this to Goliath, how dare you challenge the armies of the living God? David and the Israelite army are threatened by the same situation. They see the same reality before them that is challenging them. But David saw the giant in relationship to God and to what God can do. David saw the situation as it really was. Faith is simply recognizing what is already true. What is the truth? We have to go back to the truth. And it's not just about believing. It's about what we believe in. Everybody believes. People who think we originated from apes, they believe. I think they need a lot of extra belief for that idea. But they have great faith in that belief. You can't say they don't have faith. You might believe that you can fly an airplane from here to India simply by pedaling. You can have all the faith in your abilities that you like. But we all sitting here know, as much faith as you have, you're going to find a wreckage of a small propeller plane with pedals somewhere between here and Joburg, maybe. I don't know how far you're going to get. You see, faith is not about simply believing in whatever. Faith is about believing in the one true God. And then we sometimes compare ourselves to other people. Oh, if I could only have faith like that person. Well, guess what? You can. You can. Faith is not an exclusive thing that one person has and another person doesn't. It's a decision that we make. It's a choice to believe what God says. And faith grows as we make those choices. When I say, I'm going to believe what you say, God, and we realize, wait a second, this is really true, the next time it's easier to believe. Start with what God said is true now for you and where you are now. Believe that and see what God can do. Don't start with what you feel, please. Oof. That feeling might just be your supper from last night or whatever, the sore toe because you went park running and kicked a rock. Don't go with your feelings. Go with the truth. What is the truth? Your feelings will betray you. Both fear and faith ask you to believe in something you can't see, and you choose which one to follow. James says, in the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by actions is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You see, faith alone is not enough. Believing that God will supply a blanket to somebody through the Hillcrest Presbyterian Family Church is great. But the deed is picking up the knitting needles and saying, I believe that they're going to do it, and I'm going to be part of that. You see, our faith has got a component of doing that is big. No matter what we say, it's what we do that shows what we really believe. You can become a mature, faithful disciple. Everyone can resist temptation. You've just got to know what's already true, and you need to believe in what's already true. In 1 Kings 18, verse 21, Elijah said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. It's not a months of searching. It's a moment decision. Is it Baal? Is that your God? Or is it Almighty God? The God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph, the God of now, the God who is alive, who's with us, who promises never to leave us, forsake us. Is that who you're going to choose? Your greatest battle is not first about behavior, it's about belief. Satan wants you to believe lies about who you are, but God calls you to stand in the truth. If you are in Christ, you are not abandoned, dirty, worthless, or defeated. You are accepted, significant, secure, forgiven, and made new. Well, I love new people. You guys look great. The question is not simply, what do I feel? But what has God said is true, and will I believe that and have faith in that? Choose faith over fear. Choose truth over lies. Choose to see yourself the way God sees you. And as you continue through these next few weeks, may God help each one of us to walk not according to old labels, old failures, old fears, but according to the truth of who we are in Christ.